You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, here we are again, ladies and gentlemen, back together once more. I'm your host, James Edwards. Welcome to tonight's live broadcast of TPC this Saturday evening, September 22nd. How about last week's show, gang? I think last week's show was TPC par excellence. It was not a wasted minute. Four fantastic guests, Lana Locht of Red Ice, Mark Weber of IHR, Dr. Michael Hill, League of the South, and then John Wesley, a relative newcomer of the Identity Rising podcast, a show that I had the opportunity to appear on just a few weeks ago. And so we were guest heavy last week, and it's really been that way all year. We knew at the beginning of the year that Keith Alexander was going to be taking a sabbatical for a few months, and so I was committed, and it was the plan to really load each show up with the kind of guests that we want to bring to your attention, the kind of guests we've always brought to your attention, but we were really doubling down on our efforts to have each show anchored by at least one of our friends and worthy compatriots. And it's really been, that's been our MO all year. I think much more even than in previous years, that's been how we have gone about our business and our work this year. But what we're going to be doing tonight, I say that to say this. Tonight, we are going to make a departure from that model. Tonight, it is just us. It's just us. There's some things that we need to talk about, and we need to really invest a little bit of time to break it all down. So it's just going to be me and Keith tonight for the first 2 hours. Jack Ryan will be back in the third hour. Eddie is out tonight, and I've got a few things I want to tell you from my heart in the third hour as well. So that's what's going to be happening tonight, just the house crew, as it were. Keith, how are you?
I'm doing great. You know, I was listening to that, and it occurred to me that our show is kind of like the Ed Sullivan show of the far right.
I thought we were the Lawrence Welk show of the
old. Yeah, right. Well, that too. But like Ed Sullivan, we not only feature established acts within our genre, within our scope, what is considered our part of the political turf, like Jared Taylor, or like Sam Dixon, or like Kevin McDonald, all of those people, Pat Buchanan, Ann Coulter, people like that. And in addition, we, like Ed Sullivan, provide a stage for newcomers, like this fellow you're telling me about from Identity Europa that impressed you so much.
Yeah, there was a guy. Yeah, IE guy was on a couple of weeks ago. Last week, Identity Rising. Yeah, I mean, that's we've done well. 14 years and counting.
I think it's a good analogy. I think that's what we do.
I think so. I don't know how many people remember Ed Sullivan.
Well, yeah, you have to really go back. You have to go back to my generation to remember Ed Sullivan.
Beatles fans might.
The Beatles, Elvis, the Rolling Stones, they were all first on the Ed Sullivan Show and introduced to the American market that way.
Well, let's let everybody know why we're going to be guest-free this evening. And one of the reasons is I really wanted to give Keith sometimes you got to let the horses run, right? I mean, you got to let a stallion like Keith out of the stables and just give him some room to maneuver. And I thought Keith would be, of all the people we could have on, none better than Keith to break down what's going on with Judge Brett Kavanaugh. Now, this thing, I got to tell you, folks, if you're interested in this, and I know a lot of you are, because I've heard from you this week and you were hoping that we would talk about it. So that's what we're leading off with tonight, the Kavanaugh hearings. I got to tell you, though, I was on Sam Bushman's radio show on Wednesday, Liberty Roundtable, libertyroundtable.com, Sam and Kurt Crosby. And yours truly, we talked about this for an hour, and I told Sam after the show, I said, Sam, I've been coming on your show once a month for years, and I think that was one of the best hours we've ever had together, and we really got animated about what's going on here. And to me, it couldn't be more transparent. He's getting Roy Moore'd. The left found a new weapon in their arsenal with Roy Moore, where you can just get some shrew, some shriveled up hag to come forth with an unsubstantiated claim, a baseless accusation, no evidence to prove that it did or didn't happen. And it's not a single witness And you can torpedo even people like Roy Moore, and now very possibly, even if not likely, Judge Kavanaugh, a man who has been in the Washington establishment for decades, going back to Ken Starr and the Clinton impeachment. I mean, this guy is a known commodity. He's been prodded six ways from Sunday. He's been investigated. He's had background check after background check. None of this stuff ever came up, just like Roy Moore. Roy Moore was one of the big names in Alabama politics. He became a worldwide figure for his righteous stand on the Ten Commandments. But not until he ran for the United States Senate did any of these women all of a sudden remember what happened to them. And it's the same thing here with this woman. Once again, you're talking about something that allegedly happened decades ago, but she never felt the need to talk about it to anyone prior to the 11th hour and 59th minute of his confirmation hearing. And then, as Pat Buchanan wrote in his excellent column this week, she didn't remember where it happened, what year it happened, how she got there, how she got home, who she was with, what planet she was on. And but yet it just comes back so vividly clear right before this man is to ascend to the Supreme Court, and the only witness that denies having any knowledge that it ever happened. And anyway, Keith, that's my opening salvo. I think the precedent was set with Judge Moore, and now, surprise, surprise, here we are again. How likely is it to have the same outcome when it comes to something as high stakes as the Supreme Court?
Well, I think you're very correct to link this with Roy Moore. What we're seeing now is the fruit of the Me Too movement. People may have been somewhat mystified at first, wondering what the Me Too movement was about. What were they trying to do? Well, they were setting the stage for Roy Moore and now Brett Kavanaugh, and it's going to be used against any conservative white male who is who dares to throw his hat into the public ring and try to gain a position of power and authority within government. Now, Me Too focuses on sex. Sex is something that happens generally in the privacy of a bedroom or a motel room or something like this. It's not out on the street corner. Therefore, it's a lot easier to fabricate facts and stories about sex than it is, for example, cheating or embezzlement or, you know, beating someone up, things like this. This is the perfect venue for the left. It's kind of like the power of judicial review. It's the last card in their deck when they have no other way to prevent a conservative from ascending to a position of power and authority, like having a position on the U.S. Supreme Court. They're going to trot this out, just like when the left could not get the legislature or the executive to do anything about something that was very unpopular, like homosexual marriage recently or racial integration of the public schools back in 1954. They used the power of judicial review so that they could invent constitutional rights. It's basically the same type of thinking that's driving both of these tactics.
We're just getting started. We're going to spend the entire first hour on this. We're going to look under every rock. We're going to uncover every hatch, and we will do a comprehensive take on Kavanaugh and the accusations against him. We'll be right back.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-9133. 6397.
Folks, let me be clear. I really don't care that much about Kavanaugh as a person. I think he's a Washington insider. He's a Beltway conservative for whatever good that is, and it's really not much good at all. I think he's certainly better than anybody Hillary would have nominated or put forth for a confirmation, and Neil Gorsuch, the same about him. I certainly don't think a Gorsuch and Kavanaugh court are going to be the horror show that the left thinks that they would be or pretends that they would be.
Or the strong medicine that we would be hoping for.
That's right. No, they're not going to be that. And how could you believe that they would be? I mean, they're just establishment Republicans. Establishment Republicans have never done anything good, and they're not going to start now. I would rather him get confirmed than not, I guess. But the main thing here that disgusts us so, and while we're talking about it, is this whole new mechanism of you get a woman, some unhinged woman, to come forth without a shred of proof, without a shred of anything, and certainly without a shred of decency, and just levy these accusations, and that's enough to completely sink men of distinction.
Well, think about this, James. Think about this in terms of Roy Moore and Brett Kavanaugh, okay? Roy Moore was the first trial balloon they shot at. That was their first experiment in terror using the Me Too movement. The Me Too movement basically relies upon the fevered imaginations of postmenopausal women to try to take down men. And they have used sex as the old standby that they think can apply to everybody, because basically sex happens in private. You know, it's like, I guess the other only thing that would be comparable to would be excretory functions. You usually don't do that out in the public either. You do that in privacy. Well, because it's done in privacy, a hit person, a hit woman, for example, postmenopausal woman, can go hog wild and pig crazy with accusations and allegations. And generally, it's going to just be a matter of credibility, because these things happened long ago. That's why they insist in the Me Too movement that women are to be believed. Normally, in Western jurisprudence and in civilized nations throughout the world, you are presumed innocent until proven guilty. Now they want you to presume that the accuser is telling the truth, they have the presumption of innocence, and it's up to the accused to prove his innocence, which is proving a negative, which is extremely hard, if not impossible, to do. And this is the new tactic du jour of the left, and it's worked so well with Roy Moore. They didn't want to take into consideration any of the historical context. They didn't consider the fact that he was a product of his time, just like they don't want to presume, for example, that Nathan Bedford Forrest was a Forrest of his time and that he lived in a world in which slavery was legal. Therefore, he was not considered a great monster by his contemporaries because he bought and sold slaves.
We talk about that. I mean, that's been talked about a lot. You can't go back and judge somebody from a different century by modern day's degenerate standards. But by any standard of measurement, Nathan Bedford Forrest and even Roy Moore, to a lesser extent, are far superior men and far superior. They have far superior morals to the people now that claim to be the gatekeepers of what is proper and right.
If you want to get a little glimpse into the past regarding Roy Moore and the milieu in which he lived and operated as a young man, I would recommend that you view again Breakfast at Tiffany's, that famous movie starring George Peppard and Audrey Hepburn from the late 50s, based on a Truman Capote short story. If you have any familiarity with that film, think, for example, of the Buddy Ebsen character. Buddy Ebsen plays Doc Golightly, who is a veterinarian from Tulip, Texas, who had a wife and four children. His wife died, and he marries Lula Mae Barker, which was the original given name for Holly Golightly. And she was going on 14 when he married her, according to the script of the movie, which means she was 13. But this is the rural South of another age, and what is shocking to the conscience of contemporaries was not shocking at all to the conscience of people back then. For example, now we've turned things exactly around backwards. Cougars, older women that prefer younger men, are considered hip and groovy, okay?
And Roy Moore, I think, what was in his late 20s, and these women were late
teens?
Well,
at the very least, early 30s, and he did not grow up the scion of inherited wealth like Donald Trump or the Kennedys or anyone else.
Well,
so
look
consequently,
at the age
he
difference.
Wanted to wait until he had actually made a successful career for himself before he married. That's what a lot of men did back
entirely
then.
Normal for a man to be 10 years the senior of his wife.
Let's compare it with the Cougars.
We gotta get back to the point here. I mean, what should happen here? We're talking about Kavanaugh. What should happen here in a healthy, right-thinking society? You have a woman that comes up with no proof, no evidence, no witnesses, no nothing. And what? How do you deal with that? You say, all any normal person would say is, I'm very sorry if that happened.
No.
I mean, you can say this. If that happened, that's certainly not right. But you have to understand anybody can make an accusation, and we can't let anybody coming out of the woodworks derail something of this magnitude with baseless claims.
Well, particularly at the 11th hour like this, what has happened?
Yeah, it never bothered her at any point in the last 30 years.
Well, it's a very Machiavellian tactic. They could see that they weren't going to be able to dig up anything of substance against Brett Kavanaugh, just like they were not able to dig up anything of substance about Roy Moore. So they go back to the salacious topic that always titillates, regardless of when it's brought out, and that's sex.
But even that wouldn't have worked even 5 or 10 years ago. Now it works because of the Me Too.
Yeah, the Me Too movement. And they went after some Hollywood leftists like Harvey Weinstein.
So people probably actually doing it.
Yeah, basically to prove their bona fides. This wasn't just something that liberals do to conservatives. It's something that liberals do to liberals, too. That's why they did that at the beginning. But now, once they have, you know, this particular weapon in their arsenal, they're going to use it. Look at Roy Moore, for example. Let's go back to him. Remember, this woman came out with all these fantastic allegations about him. He denied them. There was no proof, no proof that would stand up under a court of law. And what happens after they derail his prospects for becoming the U.S. senator or one of the U.S. senators from Alabama? She disappears like the Cheshire Cat smile. Nothing ever comes of this. There's no prosecution whatsoever. The same thing will happen with Christina Blasey Ford. She will make these allegations. The left will get into high dudgeon, and with the assistance of their accomplices in the mainstream media, will use this to knock Brett Kavanaugh out of the box. And then
disappear. If that happens, that will solidify this being the silver bullet of their arsenal. If they can do
this,
it
is like the power of judicial review. The Me Too movement is going to be the silver bullet, like James said, is going to win when all other tactics.
Because these are huge test cases, by the way. This isn't, you know, some city councilman who's a, you know, a proponent of the patriarchy, as they would call it. You're talking about a man who would have been a United States senator, completely washed away from this nonsense, and then now you're talking about a United States senator and a potential justice of the Supreme Court. It doesn't get much more high stakes than that, and we got to take a break. Still 30 more minutes to come on this before we shift gears. We've still got a lot to talk about.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I'd again direct your attention, ladies and gentlemen, to libertyroundtable.com if you're enjoying the conversation that Keith Alexander and I are having right now about the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings. I think you'll really enjoy the conversation that Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby and I had on Wednesday of this week. Similar to what we're talking about now, but obviously somewhat different. A lot of overlap, but Kurt and Sam were able to offer, you know, some other perspectives as well. But I told Sam on that show, I said, this is really about as close as it gets to politics being akin to a ball game. I mean, this is something that is in the fourth quarter, and it could go either way, and time is running out, and we're about to have an answer on this.
And it's like the left has just discovered the forward pass.
Well, you know, we talk about drive-by media, and Rush Limbaugh's talked about it. But there is no better case of what the drive-by media looks like than what happened with Roy Moore and now with Judge Kavanaugh. You're talking about incessant, nonstop press, basically just saying facts, proof, evidence be damned. He did it. We don't like him. And these women have said that
and
he did it.
And you've got to believe these women because women have been so mistreated in the past and they've been so disbelieved. And there's as a result, they've been the victims of such cruel
impossible to believe
treatment.
That any woman may lie. But this is so interesting because where's Gloria Allred now? Where's the nonstop press that we were bombarded with back in December with Roy Moore? Once it was over, they were done. They didn't care about that story. It was all media manufactured to begin with. But we got to remember, as I said, they were able to take down the man who should have been the United States Senator from Alabama with this. They may very well, I think it's likely, that they're going to take down Kavanaugh with it. And this is two extreme examples within the last 10 months. We got to remember that Roy Moore campaign was last December. That was a special election. That wasn't even a year ago.
Well, remember this too. Roy Moore didn't get Trump's full and complete defense because, unfortunately, I hate to break this to some Trump supporters out there, Donald Trump is something of a snob. He doesn't like white Southerners that went to state universities like the University of Alabama. He much prefers Ivy Leaguers like himself, and Brett Kavanaugh fits the bill. So the fact that Trump really didn't come to the aid and assistance of Roy Moore. He should have, because he would never have had a better ally in the U.S. Senate than Roy Moore. But Trump, like a lot of people, has trouble distinguishing friend from foe. But Brett Kavanaugh checks all of Donald Trump's boxes. He went to an exclusive prep school like Donald Trump. He went to an Ivy League. He had an Ivy League education just like Donald Trump. So Donald Trump feels a certain kinship with him, and I think we're going to see what Trump can do because Trump will be motivated to use his entire arsenal to get Kavanaugh through now.
Well, there were some things that you said during the break that I said that is very key to our conversation. Don't forget to say that on the air. Do you remember what they were?
Well, I remember some of them. Basically, what we're dealing with Brett Kavanaugh is what Ann Coulter called a sweet nerd. This guy is so far from what he's being portrayed to be, it's incredible. He was the type of kid, and if you were ever a teenager, a normal teenager, you know what I'm talking about here. He would be the guy who everyone would rely on to be the designated driver. While the other kids are going out getting sloshed or whatnot, they could depend on the responsible one to stay sober and drive everybody safely home. He's the guy that, regardless of how a young woman would act, he would always treat them with the utmost respect and as ladies. And he's being portrayed as being some type of, Mr. Hyde on a booty call, you know, in this party. And it's ridiculous. You know, he is so far from this. And the fact is that if they are able to pull this one off, they can pull off any slanderous mischaracterization of any white male.
Well, I'm just going to take as the accusation. We've seen it once, and it's very, very well could happen again here in the next few days.
And so you think about the treatment that Brett Kavanaugh is getting compared to Keith Ellison, the black congressman from Minnesota, or maybe he's even a senator from Minnesota, who is being credibly charged with two rape incidents.
Well, hey, all right, and of course the double standard there is readily apparent. What, for the benefit of the audience who may not know, what exactly is this woman claiming? She's not claiming that there was forced intercourse, that there wasn't a rape. I think they were supposedly in a bedroom. He was 17, she was 15. It was some party, and I guess he tried to make an advance on her, which I guess...
Well, here's the best I can make of it is that these two guys got her in the room, threw her down on the bed, started groping her, and then somebody else came in, they started laughing about it, and left. Now, the problem is, you know, as ho-hum as that sounds to most of us, to the left, you know... It's now the greatest of sexual crimes. It's sexual assault, worthy of somebody spending the next 10 years in a little mental motel somewhere.
I mean, it's impossible to believe that even if that did happen, she may have wanted it at the time, and then decades later, when there was when she could be a political foil, she's kind of reassessed the situation. But
Brett Kavanaugh,
everyday teenagers filling each other up. I mean, come on.
Well, Brett Kavanaugh, though, is such a goody-two-shoes that he would never have done this. You know, I can get a sense of what Brett Kavanaugh was like after reading these articles. You know, he was the designated driver candidate for every party, I'm sure, that he went to, and they're trying to turn him into, you know, a character from Porky's or American Pie or something like this, one of those raunchy teenage movies from the late 70s, early 80s.
We got a caller from California, Keith Diane. I don't think it's Diane Feinstein, but Diane, how are you?
Just fine. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you fine. What can we do for you?
Okay, good. So, yeah, definitely not Diane Feinstein. I'm calling because, you know, Peter Rabbit said, "Don't throw me in the briar patch." That whole
that was Brer Rabbit.
Okay, Brer Rabbit. Okay,
that's a Southern style story, Uncle Remus story.
Go ahead, Diane.
So what I'm saying though is that I think that, for instance, I'll give you a for instance. Bush and Kerry ran against each other. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
And they were third cousins. They're related, and they were both members of the Skull and Bones. So they put on the show, you know, this opposition and in the media, and they used the George Washington in his farewell address talked about the bane of the two-party system because people become more loyal to the party than to the Constitution, even. And so they pit us against each other. A house divided can't stand. And I feel like this happens all the time. For instance, Donald Trump, I voted for him. He hasn't kept us out of the wars. He hasn't stopped the illegal immigration, has he? I mean, what has he done to secure our borders?
Very little.
Well, let me say this, Diane. Ann Coulter said it best. She said, "I voted for Trump to get a Muslim ban and to build a wall, and all I got were these lousy tax cuts." Is that it?
And more wars. In fact,
he's
bombing even more than Obama did. So I think that we're all being taken. And this phony fight with Kavanaugh, he went to a Jesuit school. He helped cover up the Vince Foster murder. I feel like we're all being taken for a ride.
Well, he is a Washington insider, and I think you make an excellent point in that regard. He's certainly not Roy Moore. And the fact that they can take Roy Moore out is almost a foregone conclusion.
Right, and he went down there and he didn't support Roy Moore. I have a lot of complaints.
Right.
Exactly. Well, Sam, I was talking to a listener in Florida. earlier today, a listener in Florida, and he said Sam Bushman was the one who was right about Trump during the campaign years, at least with what we've seen so far. So what you're saying is that Kavanaugh is just a player in this like everybody else, and he's in on the fix. And I don't know if I necessarily agree, but I would certainly say that it's within the realm of possibility, to be sure, Diane.
And also, if he does get in, we're going to wonder why we expended all this time, effort, and energy to get him in, because he's probably going to turn out like numerous other so-called conservatives that were nominated by Republican presidents to the U.S. Supreme Court, like Harry Blackmun, for example, who wound up being the author of the Roe versus Wade decision.
To me, it's not so much about Kavanaugh. Hold on, Diane. We're coming up on a break. The music has started. We'll be right back.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay. Abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I want to be very clear here once again. I've said it once, I'll say it again. I don't particularly care for Kavanaugh at all, but he is not the point here. The point is, if things are as they appear to be, or if you take things at face value, the reason we're talking about this right now is that a disturbing trend is developing, and that is that you can have the media and the left in cooperation with one another find some, dig up some woman to make an accusation, and then that's enough to end the whole game. Now,
if the tactic of Me Too works, then they could prevent Jesus Christ from getting on the Supreme Court.
Well, we got a text in from our friend Rich in Nashville, and he said exactly what Sam Bushman said. Sam Bushman could talk into my headset without you being able to hear it on the air. And Rich said, this is all BS. Kavanaugh is a complete status functionary who was instrumental in covering up Vince Foster's suicide, quote-unquote suicide. He sold his soul a long time ago. Diane is right on. Rich, Sam said almost the exact same thing word for word just a minute ago, so it's great to always see how great minds are simpatico. But Diane, so you got a listener in Tennessee saying that you're on the money here, and I know you wanted to make a final comment.
Yeah, I was going to use one more example, and that was with the John Birch Society, which I'd go to their meetings, and I was really disappointed and surprised when, after 9/11, they were going along with exactly what the media was saying, that they were these Muslims and blah, blah, blah. Well, in reality, Revelo P. Oliver, who was one of the founders, resigned from the JBS because he tracked down and found out that it was just controlled opposition. He found out that Robert Welch was not sincere. He was just wasting people's time. Everybody was spinning their wheels. They're frightened enough that they have to control even the opposition. They are afraid of truth. We have more power than we realize. And thank goodness for your program.
Well, thank goodness for you, Diane, especially out there in California, an international caller tonight.
Yeah.
And no, I you've really added to the discussion this hour, and I appreciate you taking the time to dial us up.
The Soviet Socialist Republic of California.
Thank you so much. I just know that sometimes the callers can be dropped real fast without, and so I'm sorry I interrupted. I'll try not to do that next time.
No, you could call anytime, and that's true for, we don't take a lot of calls, but we wanted to take yours. Call back anytime. I'm glad you did. We've got another.
Thank you very much.
And she added to it. I mean, I think what she brought up needed to be brought up, that this whole thing could just be an act, and that certainly wouldn't be beyond. I don't know if it is or not. I mean, if it's not, it's clear what the Democrats want to do here. They want to run out the clock to November, flip the Senate, and it doesn't matter if this guy, as you said, is Jesus Christ. He ain't going to get confirmed for hell or high water.
That's why they're doing it, is because they now, after doing some polling, think they have a chance to win a Senate seat in California, a Senate seat in Arizona, and a Senate seat in Texas, and a Senate seat in Florida. Excuse me. And because if they get all three of those, it won't matter whether Kavanaugh really is Jesus Christ and walks on water. What they'll wind up doing is voting him down. And
even if these charges are completely thrown out, or even if the woman changes her story and says, you know what, it never happened, I'm sorry. No matter what. He's not going to get confirmed if the Democrats take the Senate, which may not even be a bad thing. I mean, we know about the Vince Foster thing.
Kavanaugh is another example of be careful what you wish for. Your dream may come true. Look at all of the so-called conservatives that have been put up by Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford,
Ronald Reagan,
that turned out to flip and become the farthest leftist liberals.
Yeah, Sam said Trump should switch and put Roy Moore up there. Hey, we got this. Great message from one of our good friends in Texas, and I'm going to read most of it here. Now, when you send a long text message, it gets kind of broken up, so I got to make sure I put this in the right order here. But he said, I hope Brother Keith is ready to give us the real deal on Kavanaugh tonight. I'm getting totally obsessed with this thing. Personally, I'm pessimistic. I think Kavanaugh is toast if Ford testifies, maintains her poise, and sticks to her story. It will shake enough cucks who also hate Trump and the GOP to end his nomination. It'll also destroy his reputation. Some of the other 65 female law grads who signed a letter supporting him have reversed their positions. Some Harvard law students are demanding Harvard fire him as an instructor. With the exception of Fox News, media have established almost as much control over the narrative, anti-Kavanaugh, pro-Ford, as they did over Charlottesville. I think this could be as big a turning point as the Dreyfus affair was in France, a power grab by the left to weaken and demoralize us before the midterms. So you guys need to cheer me up. I'm feeling a little black-pilled. He goes on to say that This is female intimidation. These pitiful Republicans on the Judiciary Committee have allowed themselves to be totally intimidated by this woman and her lawyers, setting deadline after deadline, then backing down each time. She is dictating the terms. This goes beyond respecting her as a victim. They're treating her like she's the Empress of China. Ending a war that we lost. For a while yesterday, I thought the Republicans had finally grown a pair and were calling her bluff, but then they caved again. I hope Keith is going to tell us that the Republicans are playing 4D chess, giving her just enough rope to hang herself with, but I'm beyond disgusted with the Republicans right now. They aren't even trying. So again, this comes down to, is this as it appears to be, or is this all just a dog and pony show?
I don't think it's entirely a dog and pony show, but what it is an expression of the increasingly gynocentric system that we're working in. Now, women trump men, minorities trump white people. That's just the new rules of the new game that we're playing.
How would you respond to the message sent in from our friend in Texas?
Well, it's obvious that they've trotted this out at the last minute because they don't want him confirmed by October the 1st. In fact, they don't want him confirmed until these elections occur in early November. And if they gain the seats that they think they're going to gain, then Trump will be a paper tiger. He can't even appoint people that he wants to the Supreme Court. So this is what they're trying to accomplish.
They've only got to stretch it out another month. I mean, that's not a lot of time.
Yeah, they're playing the four corners offense, as they used
You'd
to.
You'd be getting Merrick Garland back up.
It. And see, and I'm not sure that there's a whole heck of a lot of difference between Merrick Garland and Brett Kavanaugh. When all is said and done, more will be said than done. But on the other hand, if he's at least as good as Gorsuch, we can get some relief. And the left is really alarmed because this, again, strikes to their great strategic victory of all time, their assertion of a power of judicial review which allows the undemocratically appointed federal judiciary, the U.S. Supreme Court, to invent new constitutional rights, in essence. You know, they pretend that they're interpreting the Constitution, but that's baloney. They're just basically, who could imagine that the Founding Fathers had in mind the right for gay people to marry, enshrined in the Bill of Rights. That's crazy. But see, this is what they've used, and if the Republicans or the conservative faction, whatever, gains control of the Supreme Court, that little Vanity Fair that they're running will be, ended, and they will, not have a way in which the 3% can rule against the wishes of the 97% again. That's what they are really fearful of. Now, Rich, I think, is probably right that Brett Kavanaugh is not going to do anything really significant to assist us, because if he follows the principle of stare decisis, we now have terrible departures from stare decisis enshrined in the law for over 70 years, like the Brown versus Board of Education decision. That was a complete departure from stare decisis. Even the New York Times, when the decision came down on May the 17th, 1954, said this is a decision based on sociology and not law. But now you hear Kavanaugh saying that there's no more firm precedent in the lexicon of the entire of American jurisprudence than Brown versus Board of Education, which means that he's either stupid or he's intellectually dishonest, because nobody that understands the principle of stare decisis and studies that decision could come to that conclusion. But on the other hand, we're not going to even be able to stop new decisions like the validation of gay marriage, which happened despite the fact that 31 states had voted in referendum that it was they did not want it to be ratified as being lawful.
A minute to go. Great hour. We've got two more to come tonight. Disregarding whether or not Kavanaugh is good or bad, whether or not this situation is what it appears to be, or if it's all a big orchestration.
Dog and pony show.
Gun to your head, Keith, does he get confirmed or not?
I think he will, but on the other hand, if he doesn't, it will show that even with Trump's complete support and full efforts, he can't really effectively govern. And that's why I've said from day one, if he really wants to be an effective president, if he doesn't just want to be all talk and no action, he's going to have to buy a news network, because there are so many people in the United States, I'd say probably 80% of them, that aren't adept at using the internet. They can't get to the information that our audience gets to. And if they don't hear their ideas validated by CBS, NBC, PBS, ABC, MSNBC, CNN, or whatever, or Fox News, then it doesn't exist. It's a fringe opinion by a bunch of right-wing lunatics like us, apparently. So that's what he's going to have to do. He's going to have to do that. He's going to have to break out some shekels and buy a place or buy one of these news networks or start his own new one.
All right. Hey, great place to end it. I don't think we wasted a second of that hour. And that's our take on what's going on with Kavanaugh. I hope, Gerald, that that was good enough for you. And we will come back with the second and third hours right after this.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.